This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin hour number two, VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross here, downtown Las Vegas at Circus Sports. Mark Willis is back home in Connecticut, very close to New York City, everybody. Great to have Mark here on a Friday. And Mark, we love catching up with our guy, our host here of VSiN by the Books, Jensen Lewis, on assignment today. Down there in North Carolina. That's why he's joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Give him a follow at JLou50. Jensen, how are you, my man? Are you ready for your big day? And I believe you're going to be on the big screen right behind me here at Circa, calling all the action.
Exactly. Good to be with you guys. Mark, as always, appreciate you pinch hitting there for us here the last couple of weeks. Great to hear you guys this morning. I was up and early, getting the notes all finalized, and no train tracks to speak of here, boys, this week. So we are fully rested. We are ready to go. The pipes are in great shape. And there's just something special about first pitch of the round. So we will literally be the first game that gets the Super Regional round underway today at noon Eastern on ESPN2. So can't wait to get this thing started. Really phenomenal matchups. We get four games today and four Super Regionals beginning tomorrow. So a lot of fun to be had. A lot of day of baseball today and tomorrow as well.
Well, let's start right there with Arizona and North Carolina, the game you're calling, Jensen, because, you know, I don't know that people are certainly bettors. Is there really a home field advantage, if you will, a home site advantage if you're North Carolina? Obviously, they're 315 here on the betting line, total sitting at 10. Like, Jensen, is that a real thing for college baseball here that you can handicap to say, yeah, it should matter that you're the host of the home site?
Absolutely. And Dave, just to, in that first game for each team, you know, you'll have not only the site here at Chapel Hill, but also Fayetteville in Arkansas and LSU, Alex Box Stadium, two really intimidating home environments. Plainsman Park there for the Auburn Tigers. And, you know, just knowing that Duke up the road here, I think this is a kind of a fun little wrinkle here, guys. You know, 8 miles in between Chapel Hill and Durham, the hated rivals, Duke and North Carolina. And then also, you know, knowing that Duke is hosting the Cinderella of the tournament in Murray State, they get underway tomorrow. So Penn State, who won back-to-back national titles way back in the mid-2000s, always a tough place to play. Louisville hosting Miami and all ACC Super Regional. But I think if you look coast-to-coast here, a handful of these home environments, Dave, to answer your question, hostile environments, to say the least.
Is there a better matchup here looking forward to later on this afternoon over the first 2 days here, tomorrow and today and tomorrow, than Florida State, Oregon State?
Yeah, Mark, honestly, I would put Arkansas and Tennessee as the keynote, okay, if you will. That one deep down there in Razorback territory. Dave Van Horn's crew has gotten the better of Tony Vitello, 11-2 head-to-head. Tennessee has not won a road series in Fayetteville since I was back in my college days at Vanderbilt. You got to go all the way back to 2005, the last time Tennessee was able to come into Arkansas and win. So they'll be calling the Hogs left, right, and center, getting that series underway tomorrow afternoon. But yes, State is an intriguing matchup, a team maybe forgotten here, as we know the Pac-12 disbanding and basically just a two-team conference there. So if you're looking for opportunities to try and leverage the home field advantage, certainly LSU and Arkansas are places to look. And then also I would kind of look here to Chapel Hill. North Carolina has been a force at home. They've got arguably the deepest pitching staff left in this tournament. And so a lot to like about some of where these home teams are getting underway today and tomorrow.
You know, we talked about it, Jensen, a lot in the last week. Certainly LSU is life and death just to get here, right? And to now be able to play against West Virginia. What do you make of that LSU and West Virginia matchup? Maybe an official play here? And do you think pitching prevails?
Yeah, again, kind of looking at the numbers, Dave, this morning, it felt like this could be a bit more of a lower scoring college baseball game. I know that's relative to say here with the aluminum bats and how these offenses can put up crooked numbers a time or two. But I do think the under 11, if you're looking to play something here, you know, and that LSU and West Virginia series gets underway tomorrow. But that is a play to look for, potentially lock in case it comes down a little bit further. So that was the one that stuck out to me. I do see some of the data lending itself more to Tennessee as a potential upset at plus $1.35 in game one. For people that don't remember, Liam Doyle, their ace, and Golden Spikes Awards finalist is going to probably pitch the Sunday game. So game two, he had to come in and throw multiple innings of relief in their winner take all game on Monday. So that is something to factor in the handicap here. But definitely some things standing out. Murray State, as I said, is kind of gathering a little bit of steam here as well. Something to watch for today. We're hoping to get some clarity overall, just from a conversational standpoint, let alone a competitive standpoint. Duke is waiting for a ruling from the NCAA about the potential lifting of suspension for AJ Gracia. For people that don't know the story behind that quickly, he was suspended for having a prop on the field of play, celebrating with his teammates in the Athens regional. It was so egregious. It should never have happened. And if the NCAA needs to do the right thing, this is the time to do it. He should be reinstated. He should be allowed to play in the spirit of the rule. He did nothing to impede anyone or put anyone in danger. So hopefully they do the right thing. They lift his suspension and he's eligible to play tomorrow.
Jensen, kind of put into perspective when you look at, you mentioned at the Cinderella run of Murray State, and we all love Cinderellas. How surprising is it that Murray State is here?
I think, Mark, honestly, to know the region that they had to get through and nearly blowing the lead, and it was a sizable one against Ole Miss and Oxford, the fact that they held on is a testament in and of itself. I mean, you just don't see four seeds get to this point, let alone punch their ticket to Omaha. We've only had three number four seeds ever. So for people that, you know, are much more familiar in the March Madness rankings, this would be almost like a 12 seed making it to the final four if Murray State found their way into Omaha. So just to give people an idea there, and UTSA is in that same boat. It would be that double digit seed that would have to go through just such a tough road to be able to get there and through what's going to end up being a pretty grueling regional, not only for Murray State against Duke and their veteran team, but UCLA taking on UTSA as well.
Very quickly, we are, as a network, are very excited about this because we're going to be going out to Omaha with Jensen and our crews here next week. This is June 12th through the 14th. So we have special editions of Money Moves and Follow the Money. Jensen, of course, will be there for us for By the Books. It's going to be live from Rocco's, the home of the Jell-O shot there at Omaha, Nebraska. So we are road tripping as a network. And again, this is sponsored by Circus Sports. If you're out there in Omaha, go out there, say hi to Jensen, say hi to Stormy and JVT, and Mike Palm. Jensen's going to be out there with you, so that's going to be a lot of fun as well. Derek Stevens is going to be on the property too, so it's going to be very cool for Veasan to be hitting the road. Speaking of, how's Carolina been treating you so far, and do you expect, because it's something Mark and I were kind of kicking around, like, do you expect to see some high level celebrities there at North Carolina? Like, will they come back? I don't know, could we get an MJ sighting potentially before this weekend's done?
That would be amazing, right? We do have a pretty good idea that we'll see the Hall of Fame coach Roy Williams, who has been a mainstay here at Tar Heel games. It sounds like he will be in attendance. We ate at a great place. Dave, you know Franklin Street, the hot spot down here, the main drag to be able to go. Osteria Georgie last night. We had ourselves a very paisan meal. You know, we had some Italian, you know, we got some prosciutto, burrata. Mark, you know as well, man. You get a nice meal with the crew, a little bonding, little vino, you know, all is right. You get your production meeting done and everyone's happy going into this morning. So really, really great stuff, great food. And again, just one final note on the atmosphere here, guys. Both head coaches, Scott Forbes for North Carolina, Chip Hale from Arizona. You can sense, and we've been around enough college athletics guys to see it. You know when coaches are super amped. Mm-hmm. And I mean, both these guys are just stoked to get this thing underway and be the first game of the round. So it's going to be hot. It's going to be humid. We're going to be in the low 90s here. Rain is all gone. We should be A-OK and very clear here for today and tomorrow.
We know we can't get you out before we ask you about one play potentially with the big boys today. And I believe you're looking at the Brew Crew and the Padres. Do you have an official play for all those VSiN Pro subscribers?
Yeah, because the Braves are dead to us now. The atrocity that they had yesterday. I don't even know if we're over that live play just yet. But I do find this matchup. Chad Patrick, who's actually been really, really good youngster there for the Milwaukee Brewers, going up against Randy Vasquez. Padres have kind of been teeter-tottering here a little bit as of late, but the Brewers have been consistent. They've been really solid at home. You know me, Dave. I love a run line. Mark, this is something we love to do here on By the Books. Forget the minus money. Let's get you some plus money. Let's get you started on the right side of things. So run line here for the Brewers would be an official play for me. I'll lock that in later for VSiN Pro subscribers. I do think the Brewers continue playing very well at American Family Field, and they get that series opening win tonight.
Well, gents, I want to ask you, when you're out with the crew having the Italian meal last night, did you go chicken parm? Did you play the favorites? What do you go with? Did you step out? Did you do something a little bit different? Maybe a veal chop? What do you go with?
Yeah, Marcus. So I did a little tagliatelle, buddy. I went to street pasta route. We had a little duck on feet in there. We had a little chicken. And a little burrata prosciutto to get everything rolling, and a beautiful Super Tuscan to bring it all together. So times were had, memories were made, stories were told, and tall tales will live on forever.
Well, I guess the next question, the last question, is did you get a workout in? That is a meal fit for a king right there, is. Jensen.
Well, I mean, after losing 8 pounds this last road trip, that's a story for another day. Yeah, we're making up for lost time here. So we got to carb up, we got to load up, and be ready to go for a great afternoon.
We're going to get you back to your fighting weight before UFC 316 this weekend there in Atlantic City. Jensen, thanks for joining us, brother. We appreciate you. Have a great call, and we'll be back on the show with you on Monday. Can't wait to have you back.
You bet. Mark, always appreciate it, man. You guys have a great rest of your show. Be listening on the way to the ballpark. Thanks so much.
There he is, everybody. Jensen Lewis, check him out. Going to be there on the big screen here for North Carolina when that one gets off here at about 9 o'clock our time, noon Eastern. Mark, we have a lot to get to. We will do that. And again, we're going to have Brian McFadden join us later on this hour as well, talking all things Steelers. Stay with us. It's VSiN by the Books.
By the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books this Friday edition. Dave Ross, Mark Melusis with you. Great conversation with Jensen Lewis in the last segment, talking all things college baseball. He's down there in North Carolina. We've got BMAC, two-time Super Bowl champion, going to join us here, Mark, a little bit later on this hour, talking all things Steelers. They got a new quarterback, haven't you heard? And we're going to have Lou Fitticaro join us at the beginning of hour number three. Going to be great to catch up with Lou. Very intriguing card there in Newark, New Jersey for UFC 316 tomorrow night. And JD the Iceman is going to join us before this show is over to break down everything for game two and beyond in the Stanley Cup Finals. But let's get to it, Mark. It's time for this hour's highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
And if you're waking up today and you went to bed because OKC had a 15-point lead, Mark, in the fourth quarter, this thing's put to bed. Oh, yeah, and Tyrese Halliburton was the guy that put it to bed with the game winner, 0.3 seconds to go, and the Pacers literally do it again, coming from way back, again, 15 in the fourth quarter, those two 20-point comebacks that we saw earlier. It's insane when you really think in totality, Mark, what the Pacers collectively are doing so far in the totality of the NBA playoffs. What's your biggest takeaway from it? If you're OKC, do you go, how did that happen? Or do you go, no, we know what happened. We can correct those mistakes. And really, for the majority of the game, we were the better team, and we'll prove it in game two and beyond.
I think it's a little bit of a combination of both. I think when something continuously, repeatedly happens, it's no longer stunning. Like, this is the Indiana way. We saw it against Milwaukee. We saw it against Cleveland. We've seen it against the Knicks. Now we've seen it on the road, game one of the NBA Finals against the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're comfortable playing from behind. They never feel like they're out of any single game. They adjust as the game goes along. Carlisle's an unbelievable coach, and they've got closers and finishers on that team, whether it be Siakam and obviously Halliburton with the game winner last night with 0.3 seconds left in the game to stun that Oklahoma City Thunder crowd. Like, And I thought the Denver series was a big learning experience, Dave, for Oklahoma City. And I think we saw it in the Western Conference Finals where they boat raced the Minnesota Timberwolves and embarrassed them in that series and sent them home. And then last night going into that game, everybody and their mother said, well, if there's a game that Indiana's going to win, it's going to be game one, right? The extended time off. But it didn't look that way, right? They had 18, 19 turnovers in the first half. But if you look at it and break down the numbers, how Indiana came back, they were plus 21 from behind the arc. They cleaned up the turnover issue. They dominated on the glass. I didn't like that Dagnall went small for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, there are things that the Thunder are going to learn from. But now you look at it, okay, Oklahoma City lets one get away. Now for the Thunder, who are still a pretty significant favorite, I think 3-1 favorite in order to win this series. Now they've got to win 5 of the next 7. And at some point in time, it hits you, Dave. You and I have been watching sports for a long time. Like, at some point it hits you, maybe it's just Indiana's year.
Right.
Like, maybe it's just, maybe like it's just the Pacers' year, that regardless of it, that they're going to find a way, even though Oklahoma City's more talented, even though they have the MVP, even though they had home court advantage going into game one, maybe it's just Indiana's year. We've seen it before. It was the Giants' year in 07, on the road, Tampa, Dallas, Green Bay, beating the undefeated Patriots out there in Glendale, Arizona. Like, you go back, one of the great historical runs that we've ever seen in the history of NFL football. So, like, you look at it, maybe it just ends up being, by hook or by crook, Indiana finds a way to win this series. Because here's what you do know. Coming out of that game last night, a really pesky Pacer team, that they wholeheartedly believe that it's their year, that they are talented. They're a talented group. Maybe not as talented as Oklahoma City, but they're not going to go down without a fight. Now the Thunder have to beat the Indiana Pacers for the next 6. Like, that's a little bit difficult. Now they don't have home court advantage. Oklahoma City's been a better team at home than they've been at the run, on the road. We've seen that this entire postseason. Not saying they're not a great 68-win team, but the Pacers sent a message last night. The betting market doesn't lead you to believe that. Nope. They're a bigger dog going into game 2 Sunday night than they were going into game 1. And that's that kind of zigzag theory that, you know, the Thunder will learn from this and they'll go out there and have a prototypical Thunder type of game. But I'll tell you, Indiana is great at making teams uncomfortable. And a lot of the times those teams don't react all that well to being uncomfortable. And we saw another example of it last night in game 1 of the NBA Finals.
I think Father Time has a way of changing perspective of what you watched in real time. And you can go back to when Rick Carlisle won it with the Dallas Mavericks, right? And you go, well, they got one star in Dirk Nowitzki against this you know, Miami Heat team that's, you know, it's got LeBron, it's got Bosch, it's got Wade, it's got mega stars everywhere. And then you kind of look back and you go, oh, yeah, they had Jason Kidd, Hall of Famer, right? They had Sean Marion, pretty good player at the time. Jason Terry, pretty good player at the time. Like, they had good role players to go around, a superstar in Dirk. Now, look. Again, you can debate all you want about, is Tyrese Halliburton a superstar? I don't think he's on Dirk's level if we're doing the championship DNA comparison. But he does have deep units, right? He's got bodies that he can throw, namely Nembhard, that he's going to throw at SGA, who does feel like the best player on the floor for either one of these teams. Because Carlisle has that pedigree, because he's won with, quote, a lesser team before, do you think that he goes, yeah, I've been here, done this, literally done this before against a super team that nobody gave us a chance against Miami? And again, the betting market said you had very little chance in this one. Do you think he just goes, man, I don't know what y'all are seeing, because I know exactly how to navigate. I've done it before and I can do it again.
Yeah, I think 100%. And I think if you go back to that Miami-Dallas series, the Dallas Mavericks had a game in which they rallied from 15 points down to win that series. And that's when everybody outside of South Beach was rooting against the Miami Heat, and LeBron James didn't like being arch enemy number one and all those kind of things. And, you know, the Dallas Mavericks all of a sudden became like the Dallas Cowboys. They became America's team.
That's right.
Everybody's rooting for the Mavs. So you look at this series. Yeah, I think Indiana believes, Dave. Like, I think they wake up on this Friday. I think they went into that game last night. They don't necessarily care about the betting line. They don't care about anything like that, nor should they. They believe that they're going to find a way to win because they've done it. They did it in overtime against Milwaukee. They did it. Like, you just look at this run and you're starting to get this instance, because I, like everybody else, thought when Oklahoma City, given their defense, when they were up 15, I thought that game was over. I really did. I didn't think the Pacers were going to rally last night, and they did, and they sent a statement. Now, will we see Oklahoma City probably respond in game two on Sunday night? For sure. And then we'll see, and I think you will, but then we'll see exactly what this series looks like when they heads back to Gainsbridge Fieldhouse in Indianapolis for game three and how the Pacers play at home.
It is fascinating to think that they won that game with 19 turnovers in the first half, down 12 at the break. Could have been actually, that's kind of the story of the game, that it was not a bigger deficit at halftime with as dismal as they played in the first half and were able to somehow pull that out, down 15 in the fourth quarter. How about this rather significant news here, south side of Chicago? And ironically, I used to work for Jerry Reinsdorf in an old company back in the day. And the White Sox have announced that Jerry Reinsdorf has entered into an agreement with billionaire Justin Ishbia that's going to allow Reinsdorf to sell his controlling interest in the ball club to Ishbia during a four-year window that will not begin until 2029. Now, after 2034, Ishbia will then have the option to acquire the controlling interest. Times are certainly going to be changing there on the south side. And I know for people there, they go, oh, finally, this is what we need to get Reinsdorf out. And I kind of go back to when I was covering football in D.C. many moons ago, and Daniel Snyder came in on the white horse at the last minute in 1999. Everybody went, oh, thank goodness we got this guy running the team. I'm not saying be careful what you wish for, but Mark, does it feel like sometimes change just for the sake of change? Can this only be good for the Southsiders, or should there be a cautionary tale there?
Why, if I'm on the south side, wait a second, I got to wait 4 years? Why do I have to wait 4 years? Why can't he be out today? Why do I have to wait? Why does there have to be a grace period? Ishbia has got to be like, well, can I have some time to figure out whether or not I exactly want to do this 4 years from now? Yeah, I get it. And you're the Snyder ones, and Snyder is one of the worst owners that professional sports has ever seen, and was an embarrassment. Not just the National Football League. I mean, just on so many different levels, and ran and tried single-handedly to try and run that organization into the ground. I think change it from this perspective. Look at how bad Chicago was last year. They're 23 games under 500 this year. They're a terrible baseball team. And Reinsdorf, I think, you know, for the success at times the Chicago White Sox have had, I think if you're a Sox fan on the south side of Chicago, you're probably excited about potentially what a change in ownership could mean for your franchise.
It seems like, and it's been decades now since they won the World Series, but the fact that it actually happened in this tenure is rather stunning. So times they will be changing there in the south side of Chicago, that's for sure. Edge Boost, if you haven't checked it out yet, it's the first ever bank account that's built solely for bettors. It's going to ensure all your gambling transactions are always approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cash back rewards, 100% approval for all your betting deposits. Sign up today, edgeboost.bet. Use the promo code BOOK. You're going to deposit $25, and Edge Boost is going to match that deposit. So again, title of the program is By the Books. So use the promo code BOOK at edgeboost.bet. Mark, when we come back, let's get into the Major League Baseball doc. And I'll be curious to get your thoughts of what you saw with the Mets and Dodgers series, and that is concluded. We'll break it all down next for you here, right? I'm VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue the conversation here on a Friday. Mark Melusis, Dave Ross here coming at you. Going to have Brian McFadden join us in the next segment. Two-time Super Bowl champion from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Little news there in the Steel City that we'll break down with BMAC. See what the thoughts are of Steeler Nation with their new quarterback in the fold. But I got to ask you, Mark, because I'm in a group text here. I'll pull back the curtain a little bit. We call it Meet the Mess instead of Meet the Mets. And I don't know if you saw, but there was some sort of meltdown going on X yesterday by some rather important people in the world. And while that meltdown was going on, the Metropolitans were melting down against the Dodgers. And my group text was blowing up because of that. And so you look at the series that is now concluded as the Mets going to begin a series today in the Rockies, hottest team in baseball, arguably, coming off a sweep of the Marlins. And the Mets split that series with the Dodgers, and if they they win the season series with LA, so if they match up, the Mets would have home field advantage in that series. What is your takeaway from that? Did you take away anything that I don't want to say that the two best teams in the National League, so I'm sure Cub fans would like to throw that their hat in the ring. Phillies have taken a little bit of a step back. Do you look at it as glass half full or empty that the Mets kind of gave away two of those four games?
I look at it as glass half full. I mean, I think they've done their job. You're right. If, you know, when you look at should these two teams match up, we get a rematch, they'll have home field advantage. All due respect to Cub fans and Philly fans, you know, I think it's going to be the Mets and the Dodgers are going to be the last two teams standing in the National League. I do. I think there's positives to take away. Listen, Beatty made a defensive miscue, you know, and a bad throw, short arms the throw. Will Smith is able to score. The Dodgers rally late. They win the game. You know, it was a fun series. Like, you look at certain series in Major League Baseball, Dave, in the regular season, and some series, you know, just have a little bit more importance or a little bit more or a little sexier so to speak. Mets and Dodgers have been that, right? And it was a great four-game set out there in Los Angeles in a beautiful setting. I think you come out of it, if you're a Met fan, is this. Yes, Francisco Lindor's got a broken pinky toe on his right foot. He's not going on the IL. I think the posse's Soto's starting to find himself offensively, mm-hmm. which is going to be a massive boost to this team. They're going to get better when you're looking at the pitching staff, because at some point in time, you're going to get Manaea and Frankie Montas back in that pitching staff. You know, the pitching, quote unquote, pitching lab for the New York Mets have done wonders when you look at the likes of Griffin Canning and what he's been able to provide for this team. So I think the Mets are a really good baseball team, and I think the Dodgers, even as banged up as they are, when you look at their relief corps and some of the other injuries they've gone through, I think they're going to be a team. I think you're looking at two ownership groups that are going to be highly aggressive at the MLB trade deadline. It was a great six-game series in the NLCS last year. We have seen it now seven times during the course of the regular season, and I think the Mets are they're the better team. They let one get away like yesterday. But the, you know, you've had a lot of extra inning games here. Mm-hmm. And I think in the end, the Mets come out of this feeling pretty good about themselves. And now they get the doormats that are the Colorado Rockies this weekend.
Mets, by the way, second betting choice in the National League to win the pennant at +425. Dodgers, obviously the big favorites there. Still plus money at +$1.60. If you like LA, you mentioned the pitching staff, Paul Blackburn back as well, waiting for Montas and Manaea. So you're right. It looks like the rich will get richer a little bit for the Metropolitans. And you mentioned the doormat that is the Colorado Rockies. Could the Mets be walking into a buzzsaw? Are you kidding me? Look at the run line. You gotta lay 2.5 runs with the Mets and lay $1.42 for the red hot Rockies, Mark, after you play that big four game slobber knocker.
Sure.
Are we walking into a buzzsaw here at Coors Field?
You could be. Like, I wouldn't bet the game. Like, I really wouldn't. Like, I'm not advising anybody on this Friday morning to say, oh, yeah, you know what? Go out there. But how do you bet? I mean, how do you look at the Rockies? Colorado played the Mets competitive out at Citi Field. Yep. I mean, they did. They didn't completely embarrass themselves. They weren't losing games 13-1 or anything like that. So, I would never play it because, as you mentioned, Dave, we've seen this enough times. You come off a big four-game set.
Oh, yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, you're taking on a team that is the worst team in Major League Baseball. Is there a little bit of a letdown after the emotions of the last four games and the high intensity that we saw out in Los Angeles?
That's good. I think it's going to be on the bump here. You want to lay it on the money line. You got to lay 320. I'm seeing 340 elsewhere against Antonio Sensatella. So interesting. That'll be an interesting matchup today to see if the Mets can, quote, get up for the Rockies there. Let's go across town. Let's talk a little bit about the Yanks and what they're doing these days. Looking pretty good. They are the favorites, obviously, to win the American League at this juncture as well. Walker Buehler and the hated Red Sox come in against Will Warren today. Got to lay $1.80 here on the Yanks in the boogie down. Total sitting at 9. Bigger picture for the Yanks, I guess Yankee fans have to be ecstatic of where they are without Juan Soto at this point in early June.
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, but I also think they couch it a little bit knowing that the bigger prize is trying to go out there and win a World Series. And Dave, the American League outside of Detroit is not particularly good. Like, you look at, you know, you look at Boston and the Yankees and Red Sox are always fun. And we can grade out where that rivalry stands in terms of the great American sports rivalries. Mm-hmm. And it's right up there. Right. And everyone kind of takes intrigue. It's a Boston team that's trying to find themselves. Bregman going on the IL. They've had the drama with Devers, although he goes out there and continues to hit. Red Sox fans upset that they're not calling up their best, that this is not necessarily the best rendition of the Boston Red Sox. You know, you've got Walker Buehler on the bump tonight to open up this series going up against Will Warren, who's been hit and miss for, at times for the New York Yankees this season after an impressive spring down in Tampa. I think it's a Yankee fan base, to answer your question, Dave, that looks at this group and says, you know, Judge is still brilliant. He's the best hitter in all of Major League Baseball. Goldschmidt's been a positive addition. They've gotten Jazz Chisholm off the IL back into that lineup. Bellinger with a big two-run home run last night against the Cleveland Guardians as they won that series. You know, the Luke Weaver injury, he's going to be out 6 weeks. So Devin Williams steps back into that closer's role. I think it's a Yankee fan base that says, okay, yeah, we're one of the best teams in the American League. Not exactly teaming with upper echelon talent as compared to the National League. When you're looking at a team perspective, by far they're the best team in the American League East, but this team's going to need some improving come the MLB trade deadline.
I mean, clearly from a historical sense, there's no bigger series this weekend than the Yankees and the Red Sox, but maybe the best series is going to be the Cubs in Detroit. And that's going to begin today, right? Ben Brown's going to be going up against Tarik Skubal. The total there sitting at 7, as you can understand why, with these pitchers. And certainly Skubal as a reigning defending Cy Young. I got to lay about $1.70 here on the Tigers. And normally I would say, boy, you're giving me the Cubs at big time plus money in their offense. I got to take it, but it is a different guy in Skubal. We talk about litmus tests with the Dodgers and the Mets in the last four games. Is this one maybe for the Cubs, ironically?
I think it is.
Right?
Yeah, I think it is. I don't think there's any question about it. And I think it's the best matchup when you're looking at what Chicago is sitting there at, what, 16 games over 500? And you look at what the Detroit Tigers have done this year. And, you know, it's great that the Tigers are back to relevancy and back to and building off what they were able to do last year, that wasn't just kind of some sort of an outlier in the way that they closed out that season. And Skubal's a stud. You know, we saw it last year. We continue to see it this year. And I think that's the proper way to look at it, Dave, when you look at a litmus test in the regular season. When you look at how good that lineup has been for the Chicago Cubs, well, now they're going to get tested against one of the better starters in all of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, that's going to be a fascinating series. And maybe just a rung down, if you will. The Blue Jays took 2 out of 3 against the Phillies the last couple of days here. Another big easy win yesterday. They're going to go on the road against Bailey Ober and the Twins, and they have clearly resuscitated their season here after a terrible start in April. The Twins look like the real deal. Got to lay $1.55 on Minnesota today. Come back in the Jays plus $1.30. Either one of these teams, do you see them in postseason play come October?
Dave, I don't know, like Toronto is always better in theory than reality to me. And even though everyone, I've heard it for like 3 years and talking to people around Major League Baseball, be careful of the Jays, be careful of the Jays when they were teaming with the young talent and Guerrero and all of it. And I'll be like, yeah, I got to see it. And more often than not, I got to see in order to believe it. You know, I probably trust Minnesota more than I trust the Toronto Blue Jays, even though they've gotten and played a lot better baseball over the last couple of weeks. And you mentioned taking 2 of 3 from the Philadelphia Phillies. I've never been a huge Blue Jays fan or a backer when you look at it, because oftentimes they end up breaking your heart.
Yeah. One more that I want to sneak in here in a team that I can't quite figure out. It's going to be the Rangers. They're just a quizzical team to me. Patrick Corbin's going to go against his old team in the Washington Nationals. Michael Soroka is going to be on the bump here for the Nats. You got to lay $1.22 in the Rangers. I keep waiting for this team, kind of like the Braves, to wake up. And Mark, they're not doing it. Can we trust them on the road with Patrick Corbin?
No, you can't. No. I'll answer that question quickly. No, you can't. You can't trust them. First off, like when you start to believe, they rip off a losing streak. The lineup hasn't been consistently good all season long. So no, the Texas Rangers, I think at some point, like we passed Memorial Day, you realize to yourself, a team is kind of what they are to a certain extent.
Yep.
There might be outliers to that, too. I think the Texas Rangers are what they are. So no, you cannot trust Texas.
Don't lay money with Patrick Corbin on the road. Just don't do it, America. You want to bet smarter this football season? Check it out. We got a Visa Pro subscription today. You can get a full year for just $199 plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum, a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. So check it out, VSiN.com/subscribe. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use the promo code BOOK to sign up today. BMAC is next.
Mm-hmm. You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Mark Melusis here with you on the Friday edition. Going to have Lou Finocchiaro join us in hour number three to kick it off for UFC 316. Jonathan Davis is going to help us break down game two of the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight. But we don't get every day, Mark, a two-time Super Bowl champion to join the program, but the one and only Brian McFadden, kind enough to do that right now. Give him a follow on X as I do at @BMAC_SportsTalk and joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. BMAC, it's so great to see you, man. We wanted to have you on just to talk football in general. And then some guy named Aaron Rodgers decided to sign on the dotted line for your Pittsburgh Steelers there. What's the vibe like there? And did you see this coming? Was this a foregone conclusion in your eyes?
Well, the vibe from Pittsburgh, and most importantly, Dave, Mark, from Steeler fans, you're getting a mixed review. You get 50% that's pretty excited about the move. You get another 50% that's kind of like blah. It doesn't really move the meter. But me personally, I like it because he is the best option that was available. He is the best option that wanted to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you can say whatever you want to say about Aaron Rodgers in terms of where he is at this stage in his career. He's still a better quarterback option than Skylar Thompson and Mason Rudolph, especially if you look at how he finished the season a year ago for the New York Jets. So I'm excited. I felt like this team would be competitive without Aaron Rodgers, but having Aaron Rodgers, I think it gives you a little more confidence that you can shake up some things here or there. I'm not saying that they're a championship team. I'm not saying that. But in terms of being able to compete and just find a way to get into the tournament where anything can happen, I think Aaron Rodgers will give you that chance.
BMAC, because you know it better than anybody, how will Tomlin and Rodgers work in terms of that relationship? Because we saw Rodgers in New York and it was a really poorly coached team and the Jets did everything to pacify it. How will it work with Rodgers and Tomlin in Pittsburgh?
I think it will work better than what we did not see in New York, and here's why. There's always been a mutual football love with Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin from afar. They've always had that same respect for each other. And the differences in this situation, guys, when Aaron Rodgers walked into the building 2 years ago for the New York Jets, he instantly became the biggest football personality in the building. He instantly became the most credible in terms of accolade character in the building. Because remember, Robert Saleh was just trying to figure things out as the head coach there. And then when you look at some of the other personnel members on the team, they didn't have the cachet that Aaron Rodgers had. Now, when he goes to Pittsburgh, he's not the biggest football personality in the building. He's probably not. He's not even, you know, when you look at ownership and some of the other coaches, he's not even top two. It starts with Mike Tomlin and then it trickled down. Not to mention the overall tradition and success the Pittsburgh Steelers have had throughout their history. You're talking about an organization that has six Sticky Lombardis that's been more relevant than the Jets. So these are two things that I think will help the transition for Aaron Rodgers in terms of having a smoother transition and being more inclined to receive the proper coaching from a guy who he overly respects. And he also understands he knows how to win, and that's Mike Tomlin.
Talking to two-time Super Bowl champion Brian McFadden, does a great job at CBS breaking down football on a daily basis. BMAC, you and I now go back over a decade. Do you feel old yet that we've gone back that long now? And you taught me a couple of things. You taught me the standard is the standard. That's a day one thing there in Pittsburgh. And if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. What is that standard for Aaron Rodgers? And did the Steelers get better with this signing yesterday?
I think the standard for Aaron Rodgers is knowing that he's close to the end of his career, guys, he wants to finish on a better note than what he was not able to accomplish with the New York Jets. And I do believe he's highly motivated because when you look at the New York Jets, and I'm utilizing the New York Jets as my comparison because that's the most recent thing that we've seen with Aaron Rodgers. Remember a year ago, offseason regimen, the big talk coming from New York was Aaron Rodgers not attending mandatory minicamp because he already had a trip planned. And remember how it became talking points for everyone in the media. Well, guess what Aaron Rodgers did yesterday? He made it known to all of us that he will be signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers today because he wants to be with the team for their mandatory minicamp next Tuesday. That tells all of us he has bought in to what they're doing there in Pittsburgh. And remember, he declined to attend mandatory minicamp a year ago. So that's a bright spot for me because he wants to be there, and I'm loving seeing that because clearly that was an issue last offseason.
Well, we all know the importance of going to Egypt last year for Aaron Rodgers. It was at the top of the list. There's no doubt about it. Brian, I want to ask you about in terms of success. Dave asked me this question. Do you think this is just going to end up being a one-year relationship? How would you judge success in 2025 with Rodgers in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I think it will be a one-year relationship. Regardless of what happens, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers would like to continue to go through this process knowing where he is in his career. And, you know, your second question is basically what Dave's second question as well. How much better does Aaron Rodgers make the Pittsburgh Steelers? Well, I felt like with Mason Rudolph, the ceiling in terms of wins would probably be eight. Probably be eight. I think with Aaron Rodgers, the ceiling for him will probably be 10 wins. And if you're 10-7, I think that's a playoff caliber record, more so than being 8-9, right? And if you're a playoff caliber team, man, anything can happen. You just need to get into the playoffs and just try to shake some things up, right? Just look at the NBA playoffs right now. Indiana got into the playoffs. No one saw Indiana being in the position they're currently in. But a few injuries happened. They started finding their stride. And guess what? They're competing for a championship. So with Aaron Rodgers, I believe he gives the Pittsburgh Steelers a better chance to get into the playoffs, and that's all you want because you want to be in. Now, granted, for Pittsburgh Steelers fans, that's not good enough because the standard is the standard. They believe in getting into the playoffs and not just having a seat. You want to get comfortable in the playoffs, and unfortunately, they haven't been able to do that. So maybe this year, if they get into the playoffs, you hit a lucky seven. And let's keep it going. You know what I mean? Because we've seen these things happen before. You remember, guys, years ago when Cincinnati got into the playoffs? No one saw them doing what they did, having a significant playoff run and playing for a championship. So it could happen. Do I think it will happen? I'm not quite ready to say that now, but I do believe with Aaron Rodgers, he gives you a better chance to make the playoffs.
All right, let's get down to the brass tacks here, B-Mac, because the books are double-dog daring you to play the over. And right now, that's sitting at 8.5. And you know this. Your guy, Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. So if history just repeats itself again, then you cash that at plus money at plus $1.10. Why has Mike Tomlin never had a losing season? And is there any shot that this is the first year he does have a losing season?
Well, you're talking about the numbers. Let's talk about the odds right now because we're in the business of making money. The last time I checked, if you want to make money, you got to follow the trend. You can't go against the trend. There's no guarantee in terms of making money in terms of betting. But most importantly, you want to follow the trend, right? So you just told us this man has never had a losing season. The win total is 8.5. I mean, what are we thinking about? If you're following the trend, you got to take the over. All you need is 9. He's shown, Mike Tomlin has shown the ability to win with less than at the quarterback position. Let's not forget that. He's shown the ability to win with less at the quarterback position. So I'm taking the over with that. And why is Mike Tomlin so successful? His ability to relate to the locker room. That's very, very important. And in your line of business, when you have the head man in charge and he has a relatable personality, it makes you feel comfortable. But also, what does that do? You respect that said individual even much more because he makes you feel like you're a part of what he's putting together. That's who Mike Tomlin is. When you're a head coach, we understand X's and O's. They're very, very important. But what is more important? Your ability to lead grown men who have a bank account full of money. Mike Tomlin is a leader. He's a motivational guy. And he has the staff in place that follows his footsteps. And that's why he's been able to win. Now for Pittsburgh, because we have spoiled fans, that's not enough. They want more. Because if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan and you were born in the 60s, 70s, or 80s, or 90s, guess what? You've seen a championship. How many other organizations can say that? Not many. That's why our fans in Pittsburgh, just getting into the tournament is not enough. They want to feel and hoist that sticky Lombardi.
You know how good you would have looked with a star in your helmet, B-Mac?
Hey, Mark, Dave, he tells me this at least once a month, and I give him the same response. I wouldn't have any rings if that was the case.
You're not wrong.
I know you wouldn't. B-Mac, you're the best part. I appreciate your time. As always, we'll catch up again soon. There he is, everybody, the great Brian McFadden. Give him a follow on X at BMAC underscore sports talk. He cracks me up every time, Mark. When we come back, Lupe and Akira are going to break down UFC 316. That's next year as we begin hour number 3 on VSiN by the Books.